You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears-Poisson.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Coming up, the for-profit college industry has grown significantly in the past two decades, but how are their students faring?
First, the local food movement has been gaining steam for years, and schools are getting in on the action. From field trips to local farms to setting up their own vegetable gardens, many schools in the state are teaching students the importance of where our food comes from.
Scott Gordon joins us now. He's a reporter for WisContext, and his recent article on the challenges that farm-to-school food programs faced is linked on the Central Time Facebook page. We're also joined by Mike Gasper, Nutrition Services Supervisor for the School District of Holman, Wisconsin. Scott, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
And Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Scott, let's start with you. Give us an overview of the different kinds of programs around our state that are doing some kind of farm-to-school effort.
So generally, farm-to-school means a few different things. Obviously, the one that most people think of is buying ingredients from local farms to serve at school lunch. But people who kind of work on these things professionally also include in that definition things like field trips to farms or other sort of food or nutrition or agriculture-related educational activities, as well as things like having school gardens.
Okay. And do we know from a census how many schools in Wisconsin participate in these kinds of programs?
Yeah. So the most recent kind of reliable and thorough census of that came in 2015. The USDA has something called the Farm to School Census, and the next one isn't happening until 2019. But the 2015 one showed that, about half of the school districts and private schools in Wisconsin had some form of farm to school, and that, it reached more than 500,000 students in the state.
And Mike, can you give us an idea of what you're doing in the Holman School District?
Sure. We kind of do a little bit of everything, actually. We've done some farm tours. We've done school gardens. We've raised chickens, actually, here that we've used in our lunch program. We purchase from local farmers. We're part of the La Crosse County Farm School Program as well. So we're actually pretty involved with the program.
And I understand raising chickens, you had to do quite a bit of workarounds to get these chickens from raising them to be able to serve them in your school cafeteria.
Yes. The biggest requirement that we faced was trying to find a processing facility that was USDA inspected, which we found one about 45 minutes away. But then the other issue became transporting the frozen chicken back to the district. You can't just throw it in the back of a pickup truck or a cooler and hope it's going to be okay by the time you get there. So we had to make sure it was done correctly, which we then contacted our prime vendor, which was Reinhardt Foods, and they were willing to do it, but they were regulated where they couldn't transport something they didn't own and that insurance was carried on. So to get around all that, we basically became a producing member of Fifth Season Co-op in Viroqua. So we sold the chicken to them, who sold it to Reinhardt, and then we bought it back from Reinhardt in order to arrange for the transportation of it.
Is it worth it?
Absolutely. From the standpoint alone of the educational benefit that the kids got, mm-hmm. Being a part of that from start to finish and helping work through some of the logistical issues, I think it was invaluable to those kids. And then when you actually are here on the day that we serve that chicken to all of our schools, and you see the kids' faces and you hear the comments about, wow, this is so good. And, a lot of kids probably haven't really had real food like that before. They're used to process stuff, and to be able to serve something real that they created, I think, is just incredible.
Scott, you write that districts with farm-to-school programs often have to go through some supply chain gymnastics, even to get, vegetables, fruit, or milk from area farms to their cafeterias. What are schools up against in trying to get locally sourced ingredients into school lunches?
Well, what Mike just described is a great example, albeit maybe kind of a unique one, because as I understand it, not a lot of schools are going quite so far as, you know, raising their own meat and things like that. But still, if a school district wants to get access to local produce, you know, generally if it's buying from a big food distributor like Sysco or what have you, they're not going to be able to get a lot of that through that company. So they have to figure out some other way to do it. And, you know, this can involve a lot of things like what Mike was describing, which is seeing if your distributor will buy stuff or if there's some kind of workaround you can get to get a hold of that, or if you can work individually or collectively with the different farms in your area. You know, and then on top of that, there's the complexity of just trying to figure out what you need and how to get good prices on it and how to adjust to price changes and different things. I believe when I talked to Mike for one of my stories this week, he mentioned sometimes the Holman schools like to serve Brussels sprouts, but they can't always do it because the prices on Brussels sprouts vary, and sometimes it's just not fiscally responsible for them. So it's, you know, it's really quite complicated. Like, as much as it's become this really popular idea, and clearly a lot of schools around the state and the country are getting more interested in doing it, there is no roadmap for how to really make it happen.
We're talking right now with Scott Gordon. He's a reporter for WisContext. And Mike Gasper, he's Nutrition Services Supervisor for the School District of Holman, which has a number of farm-to-school programs. We're talking about farm-to-school programs here in Wisconsin. Scott, apparently Wisconsin is considering to eliminate its farm-to-school coordinator in the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. What might that mean for the future of farm-to-school programs?
Well, even without that position, there will still be people on staff in state government, particularly at the Department of Public Instruction, who work on farm-to-school issues and local food issues. But you know, what a lot of the school districts and farmers and advocates involved in this whole farm-to-school realm are saying is that this coordinator, and that job is currently vacant right now,
mm-hmm,
by the way.
Since May.
Yeah. Has been instrumental in sort of bringing people together, different parties who might not always completely understand each other's workings. You know, a school might not understand how a farm works. A farm might not understand how a school's food service program works. Basically, they've said this coordinator has really helped to sort of bring all these different parties together and figure out ways for them to work together, you know, figure out things like, you know, how to raise chickens and sell them to back to yourself while complying with all the regulations and so forth. So I think that's the piece that people really seem to value about that particular position.
Mike, what would you say? How did the farm to school coordinator help your district?
You know, it was when we were going through the whole chicken process and trying to figure it out, we contacted that office numerous times, and they were able to do some research and really kind of led us to this workaround that we ended up finding. You know, I think it's a great resource for school districts that haven't done farm to school and maybe are interested but really have no idea where to start. You know, when you look at the total amount of money that is spent in the Wisconsin economy by school food services, you're talking millions and millions of dollars. And to have somebody that can maybe help direct some of that directly into local economies, I think is well worth the price of the salary of the person.
Mike, what advice do you have for schools that would like to follow in your footsteps and pursue similar farm-to-school programs?
You know, the biggest thing is to start someplace. Pick something and start. A lot of times with distributors like Reinhardt, they do purchase quite a bit of local produce from places like Fifth Season Co-op that you can get right off the order guide now. That's kind of a relatively new thing within the last couple of years. That's a great place to start with no real work involved. You know, you just have to identify what products those are, bring them into your operation. You know, we started off in the beginning with the local orchard, getting all of our apples from this local orchard. I think you just got to get into it. And once you get into it, you'll see the kids really enjoying it, and I think it makes you want to do more. So, you know, we've evolved now where we have school gardens. We have, at all of our schools, we have sweet corn gardens, actually, out in the community. And we're actually going to progress this year. In addition to doing chickens, we're going to be doing pigs that will utilize all the meat in the school food service program.
There is always that fear out there that says, well, what if the kids don't like the food? What do you do?
We've found when the kids are invested in it, so when it's food that they've grown in their own garden, or say chickens, or hopefully pigs, they absolutely love it. I think they just take a much different attitude towards it. A lot of times, you know, a kid will say, oh, I don't like squash, and then you'll ask them, well, have you tried it? Well, no, I've never tried it. I just don't like it. you know, so when they're invested in the actual growing of it, preparing it, serving it, I think it changes attitudes and really changes the way kids eat today. And I think, you know, in our district, we've turned a lot of kids on to a lot of products like Brussels sprouts that they never would have tried and now are eating healthier because of it.
Scott, as we look to wrap up and you look into that crystal ball of food service for schools here in Wisconsin, do you see farm-to-school programs continuing to grow, or are they going to stagnate? What might happen next?
Well, you know, it's hard to predict, of course, but even in that survey that I mentioned from a couple of years ago, a lot of school districts that didn't yet have farm-to-school programs told the USDA they were hoping to start programs in the near future. So I'm sure there might be some additional obstacles if this farm-to-school coordinator position gets cut or remains unfilled as it is now. But there does seem to be a broader momentum around these things and an interest kind of all around the state that seems to transcend, you know, political variations or the, you know, urban and rural variations. It really seems to be kind of spreading in a really diverse way. So I think that will likely continue to drive these programs forward somehow.
And Mike, it looks like you guys are just growing in the number of programs you're working on.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've got the things I mentioned before. We're also working on trying to raise some money to expand our greenhouse. We have a hydroponic lettuce operation in our greenhouse that supplies lettuce to our high school. And we're hoping to, at some point, if we can expand it, provide lettuce throughout the district. And again, that's actually written into our agriculture, science, and math curriculum as well. So again, it goes back to that whole education thing. It kind of ties everything together, and I think it's just a really great program. It takes a little bit of work to get there, but once you get it up and running, it's fantastic.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for sharing your story.
Absolutely.
And Scott, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Kate.
Scott Gordon is a reporter for WisConText, and Mike Gasper is the Nutrition Services Supervisor for the School District of Holman, Wisconsin. We have Scott Gordon's WisConText article linked on the Central Time Facebook page.